What was the original sin? That was the question we looked at last week. And we saw that the original sin was pride. We also saw that pride is the root of all evil. It's the source of all other sins. Not just in history, in the sense that it was the first sin ever committed, but it's also the source of all other sins in the sense that whenever a particular sin is committed, the sin of pride is committed beforehand and leads to the other sin. Now, at the end of last week's sermon, I said that we'll look at part two this week and that it'll be more practical. So today we're going to look at what pride actually is, why we should avoid it, and how we can avoid it. So what is pride? Can't pride be a good thing? Isn't it good to be proud of our kids? Well, there is a good form of pride, and there's also a bad form of pride. And I hope that it was self-evident last week that I was referring to the bad form of pride. Being proud of our kids is a good form of pride. We're proud of them in the sense that we're pleased with them. We think highly of them. We can also be proud of ourselves in a non-sinful way. Like if we run a marathon and we're proud of what we've achieved and give God the glory for giving us the legs and the lungs and everything else to enable us to do it. So what is sinful pride? And from now on, for the sake of simplicity, I'm just going to refer to it as pride, now that I've clarified that we're talking about the sinful form of it. So what is pride? Pride is self-exaltation. It's lifting ourselves up. It's making much of ourselves. Let's look at Luke 18, 11 to 12. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. The Pharisee exalted himself, and he did it by saying how good he was, and also by saying how bad other people were. This is self-exaltation. It's pride. We do this when we compare ourselves to others and think, or sometimes even say, we're better than them, or we're more important than them. We exalt ourselves. Some of you might have seen an ad that was on TV about a year ago. It was by Apple, and they were advertising the selfie function on their new iPhone X. For those who don't know, a selfie is when you take a picture of yourself. And in the ad, they had a recording of Muhammad Ali saying this, I am the greatest. I'm going to become champion of the universe. Me with my beautiful, colourful personality. I'm good looking, clean living, cultured, and I am modest. I'm so modest I can admit my own fault. My only fault is I don't realise how great I really am. Because I'm great. I am the greatest. Need I say more? Pride is also self-worship. It's worshipping ourselves by making ourselves the God of our own life. Let's look at Isaiah 53:6. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. Every one of us has turned away from God and turned not to someone else's way, to our own way. This is self-worship. It's pride. Invictus is a poem that was written in 1875 by William Ernest Henley. It's a well-known poem that's been quoted by many famous people. While Nelson Mandela was in prison from 1964 until 1990, he recited this poem to the other prisoners and said that he was empowered by its message of self-mastery. Barack Obama quoted the last stanza of the poem at Nelson Mandela's memorial service in 2013. Jerry Kramer recited the poem during his NFL Hall of Fame induction speech last year. The poem was also chosen by Timothy McVeigh as his final statement before his execution in 2001. McVeigh was the mastermind of the Oklahoma City bombing in 1995, which killed 168 people and injured 684 others. McVeigh was taking revenge against the federal government. Let me read you the final stanza of the poem. "It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. Again, need I say more? Pride is also self-boasting." This is probably a more obvious form of pride. It's particularly more obvious for us Aussies because we typically don't like it when people boast about themselves. We prefer to build ourselves up by tearing others down. Culturally, we struggle with tall poppy syndrome, another form of pride. But let's go back to the self-boasting. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 4:7. "What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not?" The Corinthians were boasting about how good they were. And Paul sets them straight by telling them, in a rhetorical questioning kind of way, they have no grounds for boasting. Because everything they are, and everything they can do, and everything they have, is a gift from God. So they should only be boasting in God, not themselves. Pride is also arrogance. It's thinking we're more important or valuable than everyone else. Let's look at Isaiah 47:10. "Your wisdom and knowledge mislead you when you say to yourself, 'I am, and there is none besides me.'" It's the mindset of, "I'm the only one who really matters. I'm just looking out for number one. The universe revolves around me." This is arrogance. It's pride. Another way that pride manifests itself is in the form of contentiousness, wanting to be right, wanting to prove our point at all costs. Let's look at Proverbs 13:10. "Where there is contention, there is pride." If we're being contentious and argumentative, we're being proud. It's about getting our point across. It's about proving ourselves right and proving others wrong. The 4th century pastor and theologian Augustine defined pride as the love of one's own excellence. Or to put it in Muhammad Ali's language, the love of one's own greatness. So I've given you a few definitions of what pride is, but I think there's one that encapsulates them all. And that's the first one I gave you, self-exaltation, lifting ourselves up. And not necessarily by boasting, it could be by putting others down, particularly in our country. Self-exaltation is thinking too highly of ourselves. Let's look at what Paul says about this in Romans 12:3. "Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought." We need to view ourselves with humility, not pride. And if we humble ourselves, Jesus says that we'll actually be exalted. God will exalt us because of our humility. But if we exalt ourselves, we'll be humbled. God will humble us because of our pride. Let's look at Luke 18:14. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. So now that we've seen what pride is, let's consider why we should avoid it. And the first reason is because God hates it. Let's look at Proverbs 16:5. The Lord detests all the proud of heart. Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. God hates pride. And as God's children, we should love what he loves and hate what he hates. He calls us to be like him in his love of righteousness and his hatred of wickedness. Many of you would have heard of the seven deadly sins. And guess what the first one on the list is? Pride. There's also a list of seven sins in Proverbs 6:16-19. They're referred to in the text as the seven sins that God hates. It's not the same list as the seven deadly sins, but guess what the first one on this list is? Pride. God hates pride, so we should hate it too. Another reason we should avoid pride is because Jesus died for it. Jesus died to save us from the punishment that our pride deserves. We want to avoid pride because that's why Jesus came to suffer and die for us. He came to die for our sins, and the biggest of them all is pride. Because Jesus died for our pride, we die to our pride. Let's look at Romans 6:1-2. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? And then verses 11-13. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. As Christians, we've died to sin. We've died to the sin of pride. We hate it. We desire to live righteously now and to be free from pride every day. Jesus died for us. He died for our pride. So we die to ourselves. We die to our pride for Jesus. Another reason we should avoid pride is because God opposes the proud. Let's look at 1 Peter 5:5. God opposes the proud, but shows favour to the humble. God opposes the proud. He's against them. Now, if we become proud as Christians, God will oppose us in the sense that he'll discipline us as necessary. But when we're humble, God shows favour to us. He's well pleased with us. He's proud of us when we're humble. So if we don't want our Father's opposition, if we want our Father's favour, then we need to avoid pride. We need to be humble. But how? How can we actually avoid pride? Do we just pull ourselves up by our bootstraps? Do we just try really hard in our own strength? Or do we acknowledge that we can do nothing without God's help? Let's look at John 15:5, where Jesus says, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." Sometimes we can be fooled into thinking that we can do something even as simple as breathing. But who gives us every breath we take? If God decides that our last breath will be in 5 minutes' time, then we're not able to draw even a single breath after that moment. And every breath we draw now is a gift from God. We can do nothing, not even breathe, without God. So what chance do we have of avoiding pride, a sin that's so deeply rooted in each one of us? What chance do we have of avoiding pride without God's help? We need to acknowledge that we can't avoid pride in our own strength. We need God to enable us. And so we need to ask him to deliver us from pride. The next thing we need to do is focus on God's grace. The gospel is what motivates righteous living. God's grace to us in Jesus is what motivates us to avoid pride. Let's look at Titus 2, 11 and 12. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age. It's God's grace in saving us that teaches us to say no to sin, to say no to pride. The gospel is our motivation for righteous living. We desire to live wholeheartedly for God in response to his astonishing grace to us. Another way we can avoid pride is by looking to Jesus as our example. Let's look at Philippians 2, 3 to 8. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. There's never been a greater act of humility than God becoming human. And therefore, Jesus is the best example of humility. So we look to him and we avoid pride. We stay humble. Let me conclude. Pride was the original sin. It caused Satan's fall, and it also caused our fall. It brought down the whole human race. And pride is also the root of all evil, the source of all other sins. No other sin is committed without pride being committed first. It's pride that leads to other sins. We should avoid pride because God hates it, so we should hate it too. We should also avoid pride because Jesus died for it, so we die to it for Jesus. And we avoid pride by asking God to deliver us from it, by acknowledging that we can do nothing without him. And we also avoid pride by looking to Jesus as our example, because he was the perfect example of humility. And finally, we avoid pride by focusing on the gospel. It's God's grace to us in Jesus that motivates us to say no to pride and say yes to humility. Because God sent Jesus to suffer and die for our sins, for our pride, we desire to sin no more. We hate sin, and the biggest of them all is pride. May God be gracious to us and deliver us daily from the original sin. Let's pray. Father, we acknowledge that we can do nothing without you. We can't even draw our next breath apart from you giving it to us. And if we can't do something as simple as that on our own, we surely can't avoid the source of all other sins on our own. Father, we need your power. We need your Spirit who lives in us to enable us to avoid pride, to enable us to be humble like our Lord Jesus was. And Father, we want to be humble because we know that you hate pride. You can't stand it. That sent Jesus to the cross, that he suffered and died because of our pride, our wickedness. Father, increase our desire to avoid pride, our desire to be humble people. Father, when we consider all the many ways that pride manifests itself, it seems like an impossible task. It seems insurmountable. But Father, we know that you can do all things. So please make us people who are humble like our Lord Jesus. People who serve you and serve each other with humility. Who put others before ourselves. Who think more highly of others than we think of ourselves. And Father, may the lost people that we come into contact with, may they see our humility. And may you use that to bring them to the Lord Jesus, the perfect, humble servant. Father, we pray all these things through him. Amen.